ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अपयापितायं भ्रात्रा वने कृपनवत् प्रियया वियुक्ता स्त्रीसंगिनां कथिं इति प्रथयं चकार रक्षोधमेन विकवद्विपिने समक्षम् वैदेहराज दुहितायापयापितायम् भ्रात्रवने कृपनवत् प्रियया वियुक्ता श्रीसङ्गिनं गतिमिति प्रथयं चकार रक्षोधमेन विकवद्विपिने समक्षम् वैदेहराज दुहिताय भयापितायम् भ्रात्रवने कृपनवत् प्रियया वियुक्ता श्रीसङ्गिनं गतिमिति प्रथयंश्चकार रक्षोधमेन विकवद्विपिने समक्षम् वैदेहराज दुहिताय भयापितायम् भ्रात्रवने कृपनवत् प्रियया वियुक्ता श्रीसङ्गिनं गतिमिति प्रथयंश्चकार
Yeah.
kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Videha, just as a tiger seizes unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest with his brother Lakshman, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to women. Purport. In this verse, the words Stri Sanginam Gatim Iti indicate that the condition of a person attached to women was shown by the Lord Himself. According to moral instructions, grihe nari vivarjayet. When one goes on a tour, one should not bring his wife. Formerly, men used to travel without conveyances. But still, as far as possible, when one leaves home, one should not take his wife with him, especially if one is in such a condition as Lord Ramachandra, when banished by the order of his father. Whether in the forest or at home, if one is attached to women, this attachment is always troublesome, as shown by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his personal example. Of course, this is the material side of Sri Sanghi, but the situation of Lord Ramachandra is spiritual, for he does not belong to the material world. Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana is beyond the material creation, because he is the creator of the material world. He is not subject to the conditions of the material world. The separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita is spiritually understood as vipralambha, which is an activity of the Hladini potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belonging to the Shringara Rasa, the mellow of conjugal love in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the dealings of love, displaying the symptoms called sattvika, samshadi, vilapa, murcha, and unmada. Thus, when Lord Ramachandra was separated from Sita, all these spiritual symptoms were manifested. The Lord was neither impersonal nor impotent. The Lord is neither impersonal nor impotent. Rather, he is Satchidananda Vigraha, the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Thus, he has all the symptoms of spiritual bliss. Feeling separation from one's beloved is also an item of spiritual bliss. As explained by Srila Sarupa Damodara Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Hladini Shaktihi. The dealings of love between Radha and Krishna are displayed as the pleasure potency of the Lord. The Lord is the original source of all pleasure, the reservoir of all pleasure. Lord Ramachandra, therefore, manifested the truth both spiritually and materially. Materially, those who are attached to women suffer, but spiritually, when there are feelings of separation between the Lord and his pleasure potency, the spiritual bliss of the Lord increases. This is further explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9:11. Avajananti mam mudha manushin tanumashritam param bhavam ajanato mama bhukta mameshwaram. One who does not know the spiritual potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead thinks of the Lord as an ordinary human being. But the Lord's mind, intelligence, and senses can never be affected by material conditions. This fact is further explained in the Skanda Purana as quoted by Madhvacharya. Nitya Purna Shukra Jnana Swarupo Sao Yato Vibhu Ato Shya Rama Ityakya Tasya Dhukam Kuton Gapi Tatapi Loka Sikshartam Aduko Dhuka Vartivat Anarhitam Loka Drishtya Sitam Asit Smarandiva Gya Panartam Punar Nitya Sambandha Svamana Sriya Ayodhyaya Vinir Gacchan Sarva Lokasya Cheshvara Pratyaksham Tu Sriya Sardam Jaga Mana Dir Avyaya Nakshatra Masa Ganitam Tayorisha Sahasraksham Sahasrakam Brahma Loka Samam Chakre Samastam Kshiti Mandalam Ramo Ramo Lama Lama Iti Sarvesham Abhavatada Sarvo Rama Mayo Loko Yada Ramas Twapalayat. It was actually impossible for Ravana to take away Sita. The form of Sita taken by Ravana was an illusory representation of Mother Sita, Maya Sita. When Sita was tested in the fire, this Maya Sita was burnt, and the real Sita came out of the fire. A further understanding to be derived from this example is that a woman, however powerful she may be in the material world, must be given protection For Shunasi is unprotected, she will be exploited by Rakshasas like Ravana. Here the words Vaideha Raja Duhitarevi indicate that before Mother Sita was married to Lord Ramachandra, she was protected by her father, Vaideha Raja. And when she was married, she was protected by her husband. Therefore, the conclusion is that a woman should always be protected. According to Vedic rule, there is no scope for a woman's being independent. Asamaksham, for a woman cannot protect herself independently. So Lord Ramachandra here is then enjoying his pastimes within this world, and he has come in this pastime to taste the example or to taste the situation of being separated from a newly wedded wife. In Vrindavan he feels the separation there from the gopis, but in Ayodhya then he feels the separation from Mother Sita. So he's giving the example of what has happened, what happens in this world. Though his situation is spiritual, in the material world, we're not dealing on that spiritual platform. So in this world, the living entity, due to the desire to enjoy him, then becomes attached to the Lord's energy, which is feminine. And because of this attachment, then all difficulties arise. We see throughout the scriptures, in the stories and that, basically all difficulties in this world are due to being attached to this material energy. That is the difficulty. Because of this, then the living entity suffers very greatly in this world. If there's no attachment, there is no suffering in this world. But due to attachment, then suffering is there. And so all the material energy is feminine. The living entity thinks that they are masculine. And so they try to exploit the whole of the material creation. But this is epitomized then, or it's felt the deepest, in the relationship on the material world between man and woman. So that attachment then gives the so-called, greatest of the material happinesses, but it also gives the greatest of the material distresses. So that situation then is being shown here by Ramachandra, is that because of attachment, he took his wife to the forest, because of attachment, now he has lost her. And because of attachment, now he is suffering. So this attachment to women, this is the great cause of anxiety in this world. So the living entity has to be very, very cautious of this and understand that we are servants of Krishna and give up this idea to enjoy the material energy. Then this problem can be solved. Otherwise, it can never be solved. The problem will go on unlimitedly. But as soon as we give up this attachment to enjoy the material energy, then we can free ourselves from the material nature. So this has been shown by Ramachandra. His situation, of course, is different. It's very important to understand that his situation is different. Externally, it looks the same, but this distress doesn't give him actual distress. It gives him happiness. Because for him, if you take the tattva, then he is never actually separated. So it's not that there is some loss. There's no illusion here. Because the living entity identifies with the body, because of that identification, then there is suffering. Then there is a problem. But in the spiritual world, Ramachandra, there's no misidentity. He is the Lord, and this is his energy. And then in the pastime, they are separated. But they are never eternally separated. But still, the feelings of separation are experienced because the attachment and the affection is much unlimitedly greater. So even a small disturbance in that creates a very great, deep experience. So in this world, because the relationships are not so deep, therefore the trouble is not so deep. But if you're used to less trouble, then I mean, if you're used to the situation here, you're not used to something being so much. It's considered very great. So let's say one eats things with no salt. You put a little salt, it tastes very salty. If you're used to eating a regular amount of salt, it doesn't taste salty. It just tastes normal. So because of the depth of the spiritual relationships, therefore a small disturbance then creates a very big disturbance. Well, in this material world, then one can have so much disturbance. But one is one used to disturbance, because that's all there is here, and there's not much depth of relationships, so therefore then there's not, one doesn't miss it so much. You know, it is a problem, but it doesn't create these ecstatic symptoms. That is what is missing. Right? There's no ecstatic symptoms in this material world, in this rasa. So the Lord, He tastes all these ecstatic symptoms, and because of this, then He enjoys Himself with His internal potency, because it is His potency. He is male, and Sita is female. Well, in this world, everything is female, and everything thinks it's male. So therefore, you end up with some very strange situations. And because of this, then it's a completely different rasa. It looks very much the same. There are some similar experiences, but in the material world it's based on ignorance, in the spiritual world it's based on transcendence. So then Prabhupada at the end, the purport then quotes two rules from the Dharma Shastras. That one is that one should not, when one is going out for some work, especially in a situation where one doesn't have any facilities to protect the women, then one should not take his wife with him. That should not be done. Because then others will take advantage. Because so many situations, because if you don't have anything regular, so many times the women may be left alone and other unscrupulous persons may take advantage of such situations. So that's why it's recommended that when one goes out like this, if there is not proper arrangement, then one should not take the wife. In Vanaprastha stage, then one may go out without much facility with the wife, but the wife is elderly, the man is elderly, and so therefore people are not going to disturb. But here Sita is very young, very youthful, very attractive. The other is that the women, no matter how powerful, there's always the difficulty of exploitation. Because even they're very powerful, but if they're on their own, then others will see, they'll exploit. Just seeing a beautiful woman is exploitation. Because one is exploiting, seeing that beauty. So exploitation is there. So that should be always understood. Because if one is in the situation of protection, then it keeps those who are unscrupulous, you know, in a proper place. Otherwise, the tendency is that the minds of such persons, then they are gravitate towards women who are not protected. They take advantage of this. The modern scenario is that the women will do what they like, but they're doing what they like on the screen and you get to see them with no clothes on. So what's going on? They're being exploited. So it's not that they are powerful, they're protecting themselves. No, they're powerfully being exploited, that's all. The more powerful, the more they're being exploited. The less, then the less, like this. Because the living entity is very interested in exploiting the feminine nature. Even in this world, the feminine nature that's manifest is mixed with the masculine principle. It's not pure feminine. Spiritual world, that's pure feminine. But in the material world, there's the mood of enjoyment. So, therefore, the men are exploiting and enjoying the women, and the women are exploiting and enjoying the women themselves, meaning they attract the man to them, and then they enjoy being enjoyed by the man. So that's their enjoyment. So they're using the feminine nature to enjoy the same. So the principle is the same, just as which side of the skin that you happen to be on. But the principle is the same. So therefore, then the Vedas try to reduce this to the minimum amount so that the living entity doesn't become overly attracted, overly attached, overly involved. So that they can distinguish between material and spiritual rasa, and then they are able to establish themselves again within the service to Krishna.
So the question is in this.
Question is, let's say some woman is going to be exploited, so therefore that's due to her past activities. So then how does one protect the women in such situations when they're supposed to be exploited due to their own karma anyway? See, so what's happening in the world is rasa. So therefore there's duties, there's relationships. So then the women will have relationships. They have father, they have family, they have these things. So it's the duties of those in that situation to protect them. And therefore, you know, they must do this. It's also the duty of the women to protect themselves, because protection of women is the principle. So that means it starts with women protecting women. It means themselves. Women protecting themselves as a woman, women protecting others, and then the men protecting the women. So these must be there. If the men, even no matter how expert the men are protecting, if the women aren't interested in being protected, then there'll always be a problem. So it doesn't matter what arrangements are there, the women themselves have to want to be protected. So therefore they will take all precautions, because they know what are the situations in which they can be exploited. So that's there. The karma, that's another thing. That's not much one can do about it. But one should see that oneself is not a party to it. That the girls are not behaving in such a way that they attract the attention of those who would exploit them. If they're doing their best, and the men who are protecting them are doing their best, if something happens, that's another thing. You know? But then there's always more to learn. That. It's our duty to see that nothing happens. Something does happen, that's something that's discussed after the fact. But before things happen, then one has to be very, very aware to see that nothing goes on. One has to be aware of what are the situations that can make trouble. Like that. That's the thing. If you know what is dharma, then you can know what is adharma. So through those gaps of adharma, that's where the problems will come. Does that make some sense? Question is, okay, you have a father who has a daughter who's supposed to suffer in this way, so why should he make the endeavor to try to protect her? Because his future means, one, he's taken that situation, so therefore it's his duty to take care. Whether he's successful or not, that's another thing, but it's his duty to take care. If he doesn't, he'll go to hell. That's all. Whether the daughter's protected or not, if he doesn't make the endeavor, then he goes to hell, that's all. Even if nothing does happen. Like that. But if he tries his best and something happens, then that's something to be discussed. It depends upon what his best is. Second is that why does he have a daughter that would be exploited? Right? Because that's going to fall on him also. Then socially others are going to look down on him. He was not a good father. Right? Or the girl is bad. So if the girl is bad, then whose fault is that? The girl takes the qualities of the father. So the girl is loose, that means that she has a loose father. So in all respects, it's going to make trouble. So then it's also would be his karma to be in such a situation. Right? So, but
just because karma is there doesn't mean we don't act. That's the impersonal idea or the lazy man's idea. Either of these. Like that. Ignorance of our actual spiritual duties or ignorance of the actual material duties. But it's due to ignorance one doesn't act. So if he's trying his best, then that's what he has to do. It means, what's the point? Maybe let's, I say, cut to the chase, and then we can. He doesn't close his door at night? Is there a rule? So then that means Krishna is given intelligence, and that's not to be used in Krishna's service. Vamsidas Babaji and a Grihastha are two different things. Vamsidas Babaji is a Paramahamsa that, lives by the side of the river and throws his deities in whenever they make trouble. He's in parental ras. But they get chastised. The cow comes in and knocks everything over in their house. It's their fault. Why'd they let him in? They're the supreme controller. Why do you let them in? But are you in that rasa? You're in direct parental rasa with the deities? You're talking directly to them? Vamsidas Babaji is not married. Why is the man married? Because of his extreme Krishna consciousness. Right? Because he's so absorbed in Krishna day and night, therefore he has to have a woman next to him to take care of his emotional needs. Is that what we're talking here? You understand? They're two separate things. Pure Krishna consciousness doesn't require marriage. Marriage is there if we can't be purely Krishna conscious. Instead of thinking of God, we're thinking of a woman. Therefore, better marry one woman than think of all of them. At least you reduce down, the obstacles to remembering Krishna. And then, how do you remember that one woman? How do you deal? Who the woman belongs to? If it's Krishna's, then the money we should just leave laying around. Because if it's supposed to be stolen, it'll be stolen. It's Krishna's. But the point comes is then, is that person qualified to take that responsibility? We can say that, whatever is supposed to happen, it happened. If the woman belongs to us, but if the woman belongs to Krishna, then it's our duty to see that nothing happens. This is the difference. This comes up, this we can see because the mode of ignorance is there. There's no work. It seems spiritual. Therefore we leave our door open because Krishna will take care. But then, whose door is it? Whose door have we left open? The whole point is we're thinking it's my door. If it was Krishna's door, then we would keep it closed. One of the rules in the Pancharatrik Vidhi is that the temple must be well protected. The temple is supposed to be built like a fort, not a cabaret. It's supposed to be a fort. It means if it's attacked, you can't get inside. It has monster doors. At Jagannath Puri, they open the doors once in the morning and close them once at night because you can't close them regularly. They're so big, heavy, and thick. It's a fort. It's got huge walls around it. Sri Rangam, seven walls. Like that. It's a fort to protect the deities from non-devotees because non-devotees don't know how to behave. The point is that nothing of value is given to someone who's immature. So if you think it's mine that I can fritter it away, then why keep it? Then you should give it away. Right? You're not the person to keep it. person who understands money, who understands how money is lost, and understands how money is well spent, they are made the cashier treasurer. People who have no idea what money is, they're never made. Because there's duties in this world. So that's the whole thing, is you have a duty to follow God's orders. And God says, you know, women have to be protected. So if you don't want to follow it, don't keep women. Don't get married. Don't have children. Don't marry women. It's like that. It's very simple. You can't protect them. Don't deal with them. Like that. But then that means don't think about them either. Means the Vedic culture is it's realistic. It's right down to the ground. Generally we hear nowadays, it's the contemporary, new speak, that Krishna consciousness is idealistic and the material world is real. The material world is real because it comes from God. And God's rules on how this world works are even more real. They're the reality of the real, the really real thing. So that's what God says how it should be done. That's what's to be done. You can't do it, don't bother. You can't protect women, don't get married. Same time, don't look at them. If you're not married, then you can't be with them, you can't look at them. That's the reality. So the modern contemporary situation is the most unrealistic culture in the universe. The modern New Age culture is absolutely unrealistic because they don't know who they are, who women are, who material possessions are, who God is, nothing. They're absolutely ignorant. Absolutely ignorant. Therefore, they come up with all these stupid ideas. They don't know what they're dealing with. They have no idea what they're dealing with. But they're so proud, they think they know better than anybody. But they're most foolish people. And their whole culture in that is just going to hell. Where is the good example? Any good example in the Western culture is because people are following principles of religion, not because they're following modern psychological and sociological thoughts. No. If you have a good marriage, you have a good parent-child relationship, teacher and student, or leader and follower, it's only because they're following religious principles. Maybe Christian, maybe Muslim, maybe Judaic, maybe Buddhist, but they're following religion. That's the only thing that makes it. You don't follow religion, nothing happens. So religion is the laws of God. So then you're supposed to protect. Even the materialistic religions say this. Right? They have to take care. So if you can't take care, then don't take that responsibility. Just to say it's karma. But then it's also karma if you don't eat. Then they should make no endeavor to eat, no endeavor to do anything. You just lay down on the side of the road like the python sat. Then that's good. That's first class. But why have a house if you can't take care? Why have people in it that can be... If you have a house that has no... that's left open, that means you're going to keep nothing in it that's of value. Or you're going to make sure that house is right in the middle of, you know, some well-protected area, so there's minimal chance of anything happening. Does that make sense? Ramachandra went to the forest, but he took his bows and arrows with him. Sita was, he went off, but he left Lakshman to watch Sita. So responsibility is very important. Understanding what one's responsibility to relationships that one has with other people. Vamsidas has no relationship with anybody in this world. He has not one duty to perform, nothing. His relationship is directly with the Lord. Therefore, he has no duties here. So you can't connect it to it. He's not an example. He's an avadhut. Avadhuts don't set example. Their example is simply that we don't belong here. And the real thing is in the spiritual world. Does that make some sense? Yes.
Explain that a little bit more about masculine and feminine principles.
masculine, feminine person.
The other thing that you spoke about, that the belief only association of the opposite sex, like for the belief of the if you're fully Krishna conscious, you don't need like other association. But then I would ask, like if you read about Krishna's pastimes, you read about how men, how women, they have relationships, so, I mean, how, what are their relationships based on? So even in spiritual, the relationship between men and women.
Okay, so you want to compare the relationships between the husband and wife here to the relationships there?
Because you spoke like that you only need a relationship between male and female if you're married. You know, if you're fully Christian conscious, you don't need.
Yeah, so, but you want to connect the two?
Yeah.
You want to connect the two, okay. So then, what is the male and female here in this world? Is it the soul? The soul is the man or the woman? Is the soul the man or the woman? What gets married? The souls or the gross and subtle bodies? What do you marry here? What level you're on. What does that mean, what level you're on? Souls can get married. Souls can get married. Souls get married.
Depends.
No, but I mean, here, you have to, depends means whose opinion is that? You have to give, so you can't just say that. You have to give some Shastric evidence that that's the standard thing.
So my question is, how do you define masculine and feminine? How do you define the souls?
Okay, well, that's a different question. I asked you, how do you want to connect the material relationship between a man and woman in this world and the relationship in the spiritual world on an equal platform? And you said yes, so therefore, okay, so then you say no, then it's something different.
But the male and female relationship, I'm talking more.
Yeah, okay, but what I'm saying is, what is the purpose of this? Because to me it sounds like the purpose is you're feeling bad that we're saying that people in this world who are married, there's some Maya there. And that's what comes across to me. That's what comes across to me. So therefore, I'm asking, what's the purpose behind the question? What do we want to establish by this discussion? We want to establish the difference between spiritual rasa and material rasa. In the spiritual realm, the marriages there are simply, they discuss about Krishna, but they don't need the emotional support. They are taking that relationship with Krishna. So to be a father means there must be a mother. And if you want to have the relationship of mother with Krishna, then there must be a father. Then it creates the rasa. So it's just part of the rasa. But they don't have material needs to fulfill. In this world, man needs woman, woman needs man. Prabhupada says that. So that's why the marriage is there. So if one is fully Krishna conscious, one does not depend upon that. It doesn't mean that, for example, persons like Bhaktivinoda Thakura Prabhupada or Vipandavas don't get married to set proper example. But they don't require it for their Krishna consciousness. But a grihastha requires it if he's not Krishna conscious, because he has those attachments for those material needs. Then he has to engage, if he wants to purify himself, he must engage those attachments in the Lord's service. Then that will purify him. So if the man has attachment for a woman, then he must marry that woman, and according to the rules that Krishna gives how to deal with that woman, then he must follow that. Then he's engaged his attachment for women in Krishna's service. That will free him from the material creation. And he'll be situated on the liberated platform through using that medium. So that is the medium he'll use for serving Krishna. A sannyasi or a brahmachari uses detachment to serve Krishna. Both of them now have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Right? Detachment from the material energy, but it's Krishna's energy. The main thing is that Krishna's energy is used in Krishna's service. People think it's mine. That's a problem. People think it's not mine, so I won't deal with it. That's a problem. So too much attachment, too much repulsion, that's a problem. There has to be a balance. Therefore, the sannyasi is detached. He's able to taste that detachment and be comfortable in that. But he engages that in Krishna's service according to the rules. So he uses that detachment to do activities that are beneficial by using that. Same way the grihastha uses his attachment in Krishna's service. Means whatever goes on in this world below the platform of liberation is mundane, it's maya. There's not another option. But if you take it and use it in Krishna's service, then you become purified by it. So therefore there's no difference whether you use sannyasashram for going back to Godhead or use grihasthashram for going back to Godhead. But you have to know what it is and know that it's not you. You have to know that you don't marry the souls. If you think you marry the souls, you got a problem. Souls don't get married in this world. When you marry somebody, when this body is gone, you're not married to them anymore. What if the husband's a cowherd boy and the wife is, you know, something else? It has nothing to do. It's simply a medium of purification in this world. When we take it down just to tattva, we take away all the details of, you know, other aspects of the rasa. But tattva, you have the body as material energy. It's the same material energy, but it's been empowered with Krishna's feminine potency, and the other's been empowered with Krishna's masculine potency. Therefore, the man moves and talks like a man, and the woman moves and talks like a woman. It's not the soul. The soul is not this particular female or this particular male. Is simply the material manifestation at this moment due to our karma. It's just, you stop the karma now, become a devotee, what do you have? Okay, this one's got a man's body. Okay, this one's got a woman's body. They're compatible. Okay, they can serve Krishna together. And by that, purify their attachment for being a man or being a woman. And in this way, purify themselves, go back to Godhead. But what they'll be in the spiritual world, has nothing to do with what goes on here. The two have no connection. This is a reflection of what's there, but it doesn't mean that the position that the living entity is in due to his material karma has anything to do with his position in the spiritual world. Therefore, Prabhupada says, a woman may be a man in the spiritual world, or a man may be a woman in the spiritual world. It has nothing to do with, those two have nothing to do with each other. Is that making sense? Yeah, there's only rasa in the spiritual world. But that rasa is not, they're not hunkering down between the sheets and getting it on. That's not their need. They don't need that. They don't need that in the spiritual world. Here, they may need that. Why are they getting married? Just to sit around and talk about Krishna? Is that what everybody's doing around here? They don't bother about buying saris, they don't bother about getting a house, getting money, having children, feeding, they just sit around and talk about Krishna all day. That's why people are getting married. Right? Is it? Or is there a real need in their mind to share with somebody the raising of a family and doing all those duties? And that's a material need. So you have to engage it in Krishna's service. Therefore, Krishna has arranged for the grihastha ashram. And by that, then one can improve oneself and go back to Godhead. The soul is Satchitananda. It doesn't need anything from this world. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing here to deal with the soul. So anything you're dealing with, the husband and wife, is also created from this world. It's all the energies of this world. Like that. So the experiences you get, everything, it's all coming from this world. It's not the soul. It's not spiritual. It can be spiritualized. Just like we have this paper. It's been made into a Bhagavatam. It's been spiritualized. But before it was a Bhagavatam, it's just some regular old paper made out of a regular old tree. So that's the thing. Is the body is just made out of the material energy. And it happens to act like a male body or a female because it's been empowered that way by the Lord's potency. Otherwise, why is it all the men, all the women act the same? Because they've been empowered with that potency. Otherwise, how will the jiva, whose last life was a dog or was something else, how will they know how to act as a human man or a human woman? It's because they're empowered with that. It just happens. Kids always act as kids. They get older, they act differently. They become teenagers, they act differently. They become old people, they act differently. But you can say, this is a kid. Why am I seeing the activities? Right? This is an old person by seeing the activities. It's not just the body. You have old people who don't look old. So, you're dealing with the energies here. So in the spiritual world, there's no need. Because in this world, there's a need. You have something to gain from that. That's why it's called perverted. It looks externally the same, but it's perverted. The material world, the spiritual world is pure. Here, the man marries a woman because he has something he needs to get from that woman. And the woman marries the man because there's something they need to get. And they have children because they need that. And then the children need something from them. Everybody's taking. If it's religious, then service is mixed in with it. But it's not pure service. Pure is only when you connect it to Krishna. On the spiritual world, they don't have that need. That's their spiritual form. They have a relationship with Krishna. And so therefore, then all these arrangements are made. So that, then they can perform that rasa. It says in the Bhagavatam, the husbands and wives fly around in their airplanes in Vaikuntha talking about Krishna. They don't have any sense gratification. They don't have something that they have to get to complete their needs. The soul is complete. They simply need to follow in the footsteps of those who are in the same rasa as them. That's required. That's necessary. So all those who are elderly gopis have to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda. That they must have. But in Vrindavan, since it's a culture there, it's a village, then they'll be married. Because they're married women, then so many things they can do. They know how to take care of the children, they know how to do this and that. We have to have Krishna's cowherd voice come from somewhere. Right? So then they're the children of those elderly gopis and gopis. Like this, and so it establishes the whole village. And then you can perform those pastimes. So that's all arranged by Yoga Maya. It's not arranged by Mahamaya. So there's a difference. That's why half the purport, or more than half, then is based on the principle of distinguishing between material rasa and spiritual. They're totally different. The conjugal rasa here and the conjugal rasa there are like night and day. Because conjugal rasa is with Krishna, not with themselves. Their rasa is with Krishna. They may be married. They perform the duties within the conjugal rasa. But other than that, there's not a need. That's not their prayojana. That's not their need. Their need is relationship with Krishna. So therefore, then they have the things that go along with that. You want to be a tree for Krishna, you need leaves. You need to have a piece of dirt to stand in. Right? So the same way, you want to be a cowherd man or a cowherd woman. If you're elderly, then you have to have a husband and wife. So that's been all arranged by Yoga Maya. So it's a different thing. It just creates the situation in which the rasa is tasted. Does that get any closer?
But
I don't. You can ask any of the ladies if I say that. You just ask them if I ever preach that. Yeah, it means the feminine and masculine principles are principles coming from Krishna. Krishna is a real male. And his expansions as Vishnu Tattva, they're male. But everything else is female. So therefore, male is fixed, steady source. Female is fickle. It moves. It's like the cloud and lightning, like that. So we see that the female mood is dependent upon the male, just as all living entities are dependent on Krishna. So because we want to be Krishna, but though we're not, then therefore the illusion of male and female is created in this world. So some get to play the part. It's just like if you have a bunch of kids and they wanna play a game. Okay, so they wanna play run a court. So then somebody's chosen as king, and somebody's the minister, and somebody's the guards, and somebody's the criminal. You know, tomorrow it changes. So that's what goes on here. Everybody wants to be God, so but everybody can't be God at once, otherwise it would be no fun. So therefore, by the organization of Mahamaya through karma, then some are in the male form, some are in the female form. And then that way, then some can think that they're male, and some can think that they're female. But even then, the female principle in this material world is the Purusha Shakti. The women are enjoying from being female. So they're also doing whatever they do, they use their feminine abilities to catch men so they can enjoy them. Because the man's body is also feminine, it's also material energy. Like that. So they're getting something out of there also. The men are catching the women are catching the men. Both want to enjoy each other. So that's the conjugal rasa in this world. Is find somebody that you can mutually agree to exploit each other in the way you like doing it, and they're happy with that. And that's called modern conjugal rasa. So if that works, the way you like to have sex, the other person's happy with that, the way you want to exploit their male or feminine body, they agree to that, then they have a great relationship. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't work. It wasn't a match. And they break up, go look for someone else. You know. So therefore, it's based on exploitation. That's why only for the purpose of detaching ourselves from the material nature, then we go into this kind of detail. And otherwise, we talk more on the platform of religious principles and what is the proper relationship. So therefore, then we talk on what is the proper mood between the husband and the wife, how each of them, what are their duties towards each other, what they can expect from each other, you know, how they can assist each other and be Krishna conscious. So that's the thrust that we talk on. That's the main thing. But so that we will not think that conjugal perfection is perfection, because there isn't such a thing. You can't get it perfect in this world. And you won't actually be happy by it. The mind may be peaceful when it gets what it wants, but it won't be satisfied, because the soul is something else. The soul is what you have to satisfy. Therefore, one should know why that satisfaction is not there. Because if you really break it down, you're not even dealing. You're dealing with two females who think they're male. And then they have male and female bodies, and they both exploit them as males exploiting females. So you have a real kitchery of weird relationships here. Right? Like that. That's the whole problem. So, but that's understood, that that's what's there, so we just finesse that, except for if we want to understand how to be detached from the material energy. Then we do that, then we understand, oh, I don't get too involved. But I have these duties. As a woman, I have these duties. As a man, I have these duties. As a father or mother, I have these duties. As a son or daughter, I have different duties. As a grandparent, I have another set of duties. You know, I know what my duties are, and therefore I do them, because that's my service to Krishna. I don't have a spiritual body. I have this material body. So I use this material body with the material elements in Krishna service. Just on the same principles in the spiritual world, I use my spiritual body with the spiritual elements in Krishna service. So that's all I have. I only have the material energy. So I'm not the material energy. So therefore, what do I care what it is or how terrible it is? It's just the way it is. Like the dog that goes back to Godhead in Chaitanya Lila. You know, we're not sitting around, you know, disgusting, stupid, stinky dog. No. We're going around that we see what is the service, what are the duties. He eats prasad, and he goes back to Godhead. But we all know what dogs are. So the same way as we all know what attached men are, what women attached women are, what the whole situation is, you know, how terrible it is for the child in the womb, this, that. So therefore we don't get overly attached to the material world. But at the same time, we see what is useful for Krishna consciousness. And that's the platform that we act on. That's our Abhideya. But in situation, we're not an illusion that this body is a place of misery. You know, it's ignorance. And identification with it is ignorance. So therefore, we have a male body or a female body, we're not that body. But it doesn't mean that we don't follow the duties of those bodies, because you don't have anything else to work with. There's not another option until you get a spiritual form. or another material body. And the female body and mentality does different things than the male body. If we oppose that, it means we're opposing God's laws. Because God made the rules. God wants his women to behave like this. He wants his men to behave like this. And he wants the relationship between the two like this. That's God's rules, not our rules. It's his game, not our game. We think it's our game. We've come here, we're God. We set the rules. We don't set the rules. God's already set the rules. The place runs according to his rules. And they're enforced by his devotees. Maya enforces it. You behave nicely between man and wife, and then things are prosperous as much as they can be. You don't behave, it falls apart. Guaranteed. So it's enforced. God's laws are there. Man's like this, woman's like this. You can put the two together like this. You know? Just like you have, you want to make a lemon drink. Okay, you have water, you have lemon, you have some sugar. You know? Like that. But can you put them together any way you like? Fill the cup up with sugar, you know, put in a seed from the lemon, and put in one drop of water. You have lemon juice? No. You have the three elements? No. But you have to, there's a recipe. If you follow the recipe, you get a nice drink. You don't, you get something terrible. So the recipes are established by God. That's God's laws. You follow the recipe, then in the material world it goes as good as you can get it. And if you don't follow, it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. So that's the whole science, is to understand we're not the body, but take up the duties of engaging that body in Krishna service. That's the thing. Arjuna, when he understood the battle wasn't going to go good, he didn't want to do his duties. And then when Krishna talked about spiritual, even more, then definitely I shouldn't fight. And Krishna said, no, that wasn't what I said. I said, you as a Kshatriya, engage your Kshatriya nature in my service. That's Krishna consciousness. So therefore, okay, you engage the feminine nature, the masculine nature, the child nature, whatever the nature, in Krishna's service. That's Krishna conscious. So the engagement of it is Krishna conscious. The need for it is not. The need to be married is Maya. But to engage that in Krishna's service, that's devotion. That's the science. Because if it's Maya, then people don't do it. But are they going to be able to stay away? No. So then, they'll just have sinful activities. So therefore, marriage is pious. Therefore, you engage the pious in Krishna's service. How are you going to engage illicit sexual activities in Krishna's service? It won't work. It won't work. So therefore, then you progress. You take, okay, engage the pious in Krishna's service. That is then sadharma. So things that aren't useful for engaging in Krishna's service, those are kicked out. So since marriage isn't kicked out in the Bhagavatam, therefore it's a bona fide thing to engage in Krishna's service. But other things of married life, like the Shraddhas to the forefathers and all these things, those we don't bother with. Because they're not necessary for becoming Krishna conscious. But proper dealings between husband and wife, that's necessary. Otherwise there's social chaos. So that is then, according to Krishna's rules, engaged in Krishna's service. Now you can do that because of your own attachment, or do that on a higher level because you understand this is the way Krishna wants you to do it. You can speak nicely to your husband and wife because there's something you want to get from them. Or you can speak nicely to them because that's the way Krishna wants men and women to deal with each other. So to please Krishna, you're speaking nicely. So these are the two levels you can work at, either the Kanista level or the Madhya level. And at the Uttam level, you don't need it. The Uttams may take the platform of the Madhya to give example, but they don't require it. Because they're beyond the bodily needs. They don't need to eat or anything. It just goes on. You know, as the child, like this child here, he's not making his arrangements for eating and sleeping. It happens. The mother just arranges it. He doesn't know what's going on. So the same way as the Uttamadikari, who's acting as a Paramahamsa, like Sukadeva, they just run around. They don't know what's going on. When he sleeps, he doesn't know. When he eats, he doesn't know. It happens. Because the Lord's energy will arrange it for him. She's the mother of everyone, so she'll take care. The reason she doesn't take care of us is because we think we'll take care. I'm the big guy, right? When the kid thinks, no, I'll walk myself, I'll do everything myself, okay, good. But as soon as the child, you know, just acts as the child, the mother takes care. So, we're getting anywhere here. On the energetic. No, the energetic is Krishna. So he is the enjoyer. Everything else is enjoyed. So the living entity, as they serve Krishna, that they're actually accepting their feminine nature. When they want to control and enjoy, then they think they're masculine. So the desire to control, the desire to enjoy, that is the masculine nature. Only Krishna can do that. Even other expansions of Krishna, they are the Lord and servant at the same time. Only Krishna is the one and only pure servant, enjoyer. So Braja Krishna is the only enjoyer. Everybody else is enjoyer and servant. Or if they're energy, they're simply servant. So the point is when the energy is engaged in serving the Lord for His satisfaction, then the Krishna becomes satisfied, and because the energy is part of Krishna, then they become satisfied. So we actually become unlimitedly happy by serving. When we simply look at how to please Krishna, Krishna, He takes care of our happiness, and we're as happy as we can get. Well, if we look after our own happiness, that means we're maintaining that masculine principle. I will enjoy my happiness. That's why it says, one should not be elated in happiness. It means happiness is there. But you shouldn't be elated in it, because then you think it's my happiness. Or you shouldn't be disturbed in distress. Distress will be there. But when you get disturbed, that means you're attached to it. So we're attached to our happiness and attached to our distress. That gives us trouble. Otherwise, happiness, distress will just come, because that's the way the material world works. He's not exploiting. See, the living entity is exploiting because he is not male. Therefore, it's exploitation. Krishna is male. Therefore, the gopis go away, this one, and he feels separation. For him, it's fun. Women do all kinds of funny things and drive everybody else nuts. For him, it's fun. Because for him, things work exactly the way he wants them to work. So when he puts himself on the yoga maya and they work in different ways, for him it's fun. Because he is the Lord. For us it drives us nuts, because we're not. So it's a totally different thing. For him, he's just being natural. He's being normal. He is the enjoyer. Whatever he does is enjoyable. Because that's him. He is Ananda. So when the soul gets on the spiritual platform, then they also become happy. But they're happy as servants. And he's happy as Lord. He's not exploiting. He's just doing what he does best. Here, the living entities here are exploited. Men are exploiting, women are exploiting, everybody's exploiting. There's nothing here that doesn't exploit. So as you come in line with the rules given by God, the exploitation is reduced. It becomes subconscious instead of conscious. So that's the whole thing. Pious life means you take your exploitive masculine nature and put it into the background as subconscious. And you put into the forefront your conscious nature is service. Therefore, husband serves wife serves husband, child serves parents serve children, like that. But underlying, they're doing it because they're going to get something from it. But if it's subconscious, then it doesn't matter. And if now and again that pokes up, as long as one can keep it under control, then it's considered nice. But eventually, in your devotional service, you have to address that face on and just say, I don't want this anymore. And then you have to go with the consequences of that, of giving that up. Then you can't enjoy anything anymore for your own personal pleasure. You will be happier than anything, but you can't be endeavoring for it. I think we should stop here, because it's getting late. So I think we should.
Gantarachi Man Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Jagat.